your phones ready. The 8 Train Show wants to hear from you at 720-619-0627. Best caller text of the night wins a prize from the 8 Train Show at 720-619-0627. MBR and the 8 Train Show giving veterans a voice.
You're listening to the Military Broadcast Radio. Go get the MBR app so you don't miss the H-Train or any of our other shows. Our live streams and podcasts can also be found at mbradio.us. MBR and the H-Train Show, giving veterans a voice.
And I'm welcome to the H-Train Show! You ain't seen nothing yet!
All right, you want to listen to me?
Abba-dabba-doo!
Oh, that's right.
I am skinny, dang it!
Dinosaurs are real.
Can still serve a purpose.
I'll be right back. Don't you go dying on me!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. It is another edition of the H Train Show, where we are broadcasting here in the Railhead Station Studio, Studio O, here in Liquid, Colorado. We here at the H Train Show have one mission and one mission only, and that is to show all of our men and women in uniform and all of our veterans all over the world that there are more programs out there beyond the VA. My name's H Train. Today, sitting in for Rob. Rob Williams, still a little under the weather. And hopefully we'll get to see him next Monday. That's our hope. So, but
he's had enough Roby days.
But sitting in his place is... You're still an intern.
Technically still an intern, yeah, but this is a big step up. Yes. For Rob right here. I'll say yes. That much right now. I got to be the funny guy today.
Yes, yes.
He's well, funny looking.
We got the same hairdo, so we're already in the right spot right here.
You could probably pass for Rob if you were a little broader.
I just need to eat a little more is all
yeah,
you're
okay. Yeah,
I should
you
have
know.
Had a couple more wings before the show. Maybe I could oh play
my
the
role
God. A little better.
Oh, my God. I'm telling you what, people. Every single Monday here at the school, we have what is called Military Monday. And if you don't come out and taste this food, we provide the dinner. If you don't come out and taste this dinner, you don't know what you're missing. Willie here is a really good chef. And Johnny Mike here, he's an excellent chef. So now we've got like a superstar team in the kitchen. So I don't know what y'all are waiting for, but Johnny Mike is his name. He's sitting in for Rob. And yeah.
Yeah.
How are you, brother?
I'm doing good. I'm a student here at Colorado Media School, learning the radio ropes from people like Pipes over here, people like yourself. So this is pretty cool filling in right now. Rob's a funny guy, so I know I've got a big role to fill for him. I hope he's doing well with the COVID incidents and the COVID scares, but hopefully he's feeling a little better.
Right. Yeah, me as well. Hey, Pipes, when it's okay for me to touch the button, I'm going to go and see why our Facebook Ace Train Show thing isn't working.
It's going to be a while.
It's going to be a while.
Go for it. I'll allow you now.
Okay. All right. And then we have on the keys today, Pipes. I guess I should do that first real quick.
Only if we want to.
We got Pipes.
Nope. Okay.
Wrong direction.
Wrong direction.
Let's try this one.
Michael J. Fox, still a part of the camera system. Okay, you like really screwed that one up.
Hey,
okay,
hey, I haven't said it yet. Gosh.
But ladies and gentlemen, that's Pipes, and then over.
It's happening, everybody.
Over to the other side, Willie rejoins us. It's between him and Pipes.
I did not cook tonight, so
thank God. It's
it depends on. You got there.
Well, no, we're gonna change things because I forgot to adjust the screen for you.
Okay,
you can see that better now, right?
All right, sure.
So now I gotta focus you guys in.
All right. Well, with that being said, Pipes is here. Everybody's here. Thank you for listening to us. And hit it. Yes. All aboard. Okay. So now, why is this?
I think we just have to remove it from your face.
All right, let me see. Okay, page. I can do something. Willie and gosh,
Jones.
Already early, I'm having brain farts.
At least you didn't call me Wally,
right? Willie and Johnny Mike, tell us, what did you guys do for the weekend?
Well, we both live up in Boulder, so I was telling Willie my dad went to the University of Minnesota, and so the Gophers were playing the Buffaloes this weekend.
Town, yeah.
So I went to that game with my parents, and the Buffs put up a record-setting performance. They didn't get over 80 yards total through the game. They had negative rushing yards, negative passing yards, and scored 0 points. So,
well, your dad was probably really happy about that.
Well, yeah, he was winner either way. It was a good matchup for him either way. But yeah, we did that. Hung out with my family this weekend. It was finally the smoke had finally cleared up, which was nice because
you could breathe.
It's been pretty rough around here the last couple months, but it was a good weekend. What about you, Willie?
I did very little. I was pretty busy working around the house on Saturday. My landlord got new windows upstairs.
Interesting.
And so I promised her I would stain the windows.
Mm.
So.
Nice.
I was doing that Saturday, and then Sunday I hopped on the motorcycle and went and saw a couple friends and rode around, had a couple beers around town. So it was
nice.
Pretty good.
Where'd you ride to? Did you do any fun
rides? I rode up Magnolia Road.
Okay.
And then across Peak to Peak to Estes, and then down 36 to
nice.
Back into Boulder.
That's a good ride right
yeah,
there.
It was fun.
Pipes, I don't know what I did, but apparently we're not going to be able to get the Facebook thing up, so sorry. I that was my mess
show
up.
Page. That's it,
huh?
It's just the H Train show page.
Oh, okay,
MBR page. We're live and rocking
okay.
and rolling.
All right. I don't know if you can fix that on this broadcast.
Never
or not. Probably not. That'd be too easy. Okay. So one of the things that we're going to talk about today with the what the segment is going to be the whole situation with the Gabby girl from Florida. So we're going to be getting into that a little bit. We're waiting on, like, breaking news to find mm-hmm. out. I think the kid's going to off himself, but we'll see. But we have Allie coming in. She's going to be here in the third hour. And then today we'll be talking with Matt Anderson. He's a veteran golf pro. So it'll be interesting, stuff that he tells me. Now, I don't know why I didn't think about it, but one thing that I learned with golf is it's almost like playing pool. Like, depending on where you hit it with a pool stick is, like, the direction or whatever that the pool ball will go. I'm not a scientific guy. If it's not called pool ball, then I don't know what it's called. I'm sorry. But there's a scientific way of hitting it, and I hear that that's the same thing with golf as well.
Definitely.
So I'm really interested in doing that. Talking about golf, ladies and gentlemen, Pipes is like a professional disc golfer.
Yep.
I shit you not, okay? Pipes, you had a tournament this weekend. How was it?
Oh, it was brutal.
Oh, no.
It just...
Oh, really?
First round, I actually had 5 birdies in the row to end my round.
All right.
I had this huge Anheuser on a 400-foot hole, just snapped it up there, and it broke right beautiful and just rode right over like 10 feet from the pin. My day was rocking and rolling. That next course came up.
Saturday.
I took a 7 on my second hole. It's a long day, too. Optimist and pessimist. It's probably like, I did probably walked about 14, 15 miles that day playing disc golf.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, it's they're not. Yeah,
do you have an Apple Watch? If you had an Apple Watch and you did like that fitness thing that I'm
doing.
It's
in the works.
Man, you would have so many awards like that. Mm-hmm. And then me and you could challenge each other.
Woo.
We could.
Yeah. I'm down.
Oh, shit. I just said that, and I thought about it. If I lose any more weight, then I'm going to have to get a pair of pants because these things are already starting to climb down my ass. I had to stop wearing the, like, silky sweatic things because the jeans are, like, really drifting down my ass. So I have to wear cotton underwear to keep my pants upright. This is not good. I'm not here to.
We'll bring more wings next week to help you out.
I'm not here to lose.
Yeah.
I'm not here to lose weight. I'm more of here to, like, get the awards. Like that's the reason why I don't like playing games.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm a sore loser, and a really big competitor.
Yep.
And I mean, it kills me.
Yep.
Probably one of the reasons why I didn't go longer in my Paralympic career is because I couldn't stand losing so many times. And, yeah.
It's going to be tough to beat a guy with steps when he's playing 3 rounds of disc golf every weekend,
right?
Playing in tournaments,
right?
Walking 18 holes.
That might be hard.
I had such a bad – oh, I didn't get to the – I started on hole 3, so what would it be? 17, 18, and hole 1. Between those 3 holes, I think I went plus 8.
Oh.
Yeah, between
we call
three,
those blow-up holes right there.
7, 17, and 18, I did 20 strokes in those 3 holes.
Oh, no.
It was.
Wow.
It did not. And
oh,
I lost
no.
2 discs in my last 3 holes.
Oh,
but you should see
these discs. They're not. You were telling me about these discs. They're not like frisbees. Like they're
discs.
They're discs.
Yeah.
Like they're kind of hard.
So, yes, rock hard.
So they're like, is it almost like a discus disc? You know, in track is it that kind of material?
It's more like that than a frisbee.
Oh,
it's still
God.
A frisbee though.
Mm-hmm.
It's still.
Does it actually fly?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I threw 400 and something feet this weekend.
Okay. I need to come to an event.
Next Monday, we'll go play down here at Colorado Christian.
Well, I wanted to come and watch you in action, you know?
Okay.
We need to do some, like, TikToks and commercials of us doing things, you know? Like,
Behringer, Mile High Classic.
Yeah. Well,
what's the date?
Yeah, we'll do that.
October.
October.
Okay.
Yes.
That's a good date.
One
right
day
there.
In October.
So we need
it's
to
right
do
down
something
here
like
on
that.
285 and 6.
And we needed to do something like with your cooking, you know, just make like a little clip or whatever,
yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
And then I have no
Monday.
Idea what you do other than cooking wings.
Oh, I like cooking wings. That's for sure.
You better keep it up.
I like
too.
Watching sports too.
Okay.
So
yeah, because you're on the Swisher show.
Yes, sir.
That is every Thursday at
1:30 to 3:00.
Yeah, so
Mountain Time on the NBR.
Yeah, right now, and I guess I'm one of those like fair weather kind of friends, but like right now I'm really into the I'm really into the NFL when we're winning, when
it's
the Denver Broncos are
winning.
When the Denver Broncos are not winning, like they haven't in the last 4 or 5 years, it's very hard to like.
You turn the game off in the third quarter.
Yeah, well, the way I look at it is, you know, if we're like a good team and we're like 7-0 and I think that we have a chance at playoffs, then I'm going to keep on watching.
Absolutely.
But if, you know, we start playing and we're doing like a suck for luck campaign.
Yep.
And, you know, we suck, then, you know, I'm not into the NFL. I'm not into watching sports, really.
So there's a lot of people just like that. That's why at the end of the last five seasons, the stadium was empty, like half empty in Denver, because what's the point of paying $200 to go see a team that's going nowhere and
right
got no direction,
right,
got no hope?
Right.
And the season's already over by week 10, so.
Well, season's already over before game one.
Yeah, exactly. But this year, we got Teddy.
Yeah,
we got our victory orange jerseys on today right here, our MBR orange to represent the Broncos. Rob's favorite color right here. Rob's, that's why he's out today. He doesn't want to wear these orange uniforms while we're doing the show.
I figured it out. That's funny. Pius, do we need to go on commercial?
Yeah, if you'd like to.
Hit it.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, check this out. When we come back, we'll be hitting the What the segment. We're going to find out all the details and have a conversation with you about the Abby disappearance in Florida. Let's see how raunchy these comments can get. You're listening to the show that highlights all the nonprofit programs out there beyond the VA. You're listening to the H Train Show.
Gabby, not Abby.
This is Janine Stang, the National Anthem Girl, and you are listening to the H Train Show.
Get your phones ready. The H-Train Show wants to hear from you at 720-619-0627. Best caller text of the night wins a prize from the H-Train Show at 720-619-0627. MBR and the H-Train Show giving veterans a voice.
Hey, hey. We're back. Ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't know, you're listening to the show that highlights all the nonprofit programs out there beyond the VA. You're listening to the H Train Show. And citizens, Rob Williams, who, of course, got a knife. We call him Pastor Jennifer. So, that's very important. Oh, you know, I'm going to do that.
Dang right.
All right, well, talking about
footsteps out there. What did he say? No, he's not my intern anymore.
Talking about footsteps, it's bringing us to the What the segment. Play that beautiful beam footage.
Those are cool tats, man.
Oh, for real. Thank you, bro. You see the cobra?
Hey, what is this one?
Oh, this?
Uh-huh.
That's my credo. No regrets.
Mm-hmm. You have no regrets?
Dad?
Nope.
Like, not even a single letter?
No way. Not me.
Well, I love him. I think he's great.
Hey, okay.
I think he's a real winner, Casey. If I were you, I wouldn't use protection.
What the?
I love that scene. There's people that tune in just for that, I'm sure. We got some comments before we go on. I don't know about Pipes being the best.
Ooh. Also, it's Monica, not Johnny Mike's.
We're on a new show right here.
Aye, okay. Oh, all right. Oh, wow. All these comments. You guys are hilarious. Well, ladies and gentlemen, so we did some research. The whole world wants to know where this Brian Laundrie is. If you didn't hear over the weekend, there was a woman that, well, you know what? I'm just going to let Johnny Mike take it because he did a lot of research, and I'll let him tell you a little bit about it.
All right. Well, I'll just kind of give everybody the timeline of what happened. Gabby Petito and her fiance, Brian Laundrie, they went on a four-month van trip across the United States starting back in July. And then,
so already, they said YouTuber or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Already, we know that these guys are somewhat social media.
Yeah, they were going around.
They're social media monkeys.
Posting on Instagram of everywhere they were going.
Right, right, exactly.
Those kind of led to the clues of where to find her, what happened eventually. So then, on August 12th, they are in Moab, Utah. They get contacted by police for a domestic disturbance. They were apparently getting in a big fight. A bunch of bystanders saw it. So the police came and talked to them, sent them on their way eventually. And then about 15 days later, 2 weeks later, that was the last time that the Petito family heard from Gabby, when they received a message from her that they're saying they don't believe was actually from her. They believe it was fabricated in her name. And then the day after that, which was September 1st, Brian Laundry returned home to Florida from their road trip without Gabby in the van that they were traveling around the country in. So a lot of red flags going up right there. And then it was 10 days later on the September 11th when the Petito family filed a missing report for the first time with the police. So that's when the hunt for her started to begin. That was September 11th. And then after that, it was 4 days later when Laundry was named not a suspect but a person of interest in the case on September 15th. And that's when things started to get weird. He refused to help the investigators try to find her. He wouldn't give any statements. His family wouldn't give any statements. And then on September 16th, the Petito family, the day after that, they're begging the Laundry family, please help us. Please help us find Gabby. They still refuse to talk to investigators up until this point. And the next day, September 17th, now Brian Laundry is missing.
Right.
And that's what the manhunt is on for right now. Everybody's trying to figure out where he is.
Right, and the gut punch to the family when they found Gabby that she died.
Yep.
And they tweeted out. Tweeted. That should tell you something right there.
Mm-hmm.
Tweeted, okay? Tweeted out. We're sorry for your condolences.
Mm-hmm.
After they
didn't help at
all.
And are still not helping unless right. now they're getting served right. warrants. And
it's like one of those things, don't do it, you know, because mm-hmm. they're not, you know, that's kind of like
it's insulting.
It is.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So
now they're out there looking for Brian in Florida.
Yeah, because I got the news report at 11 o'clock our time that the FBI issued a warrant
mm-hmm.
to search the properties
yep.
and stuff. And I'm telling you this, and I want to know from the listeners what you guys think, but I'm telling you this, that I believe with everything that's going around, there are YouTubers, they tweet. Dude, you know, if you got an addiction, you're not going to be able to stay off social media.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I was trying to do just for shits and giggles, I was like looking up Facebook page, his
seeing
Instagram.
If he was even leaving
yeah,
clues.
Yeah, see if, well, you know, sometimes people don't think of the obvious.
Yep. Absolutely.
Okay? Just sometimes they don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are a few idiots out there, you know, like especially
are.
Like myself. And, you know, you go on Facebook, Instagram, and see where they're at, because unless you change the settings,
mm-hmm.
everybody knows where you are, bud. On Instagram.
Yep. So that was actually how they helped find Gabby's body, was another social media couple was driving through, and they were filming their adventure through Wyoming, through the Tetons.
Yeah.
And they drove by the van that they were living in, Gabby and Brian, without knowing that it was theirs, until this hunt started. And then they went back looking through their footage, saying, wait, we were just in these areas where she was last seen. And that's where they found the van in their YouTube page. So that led the police in Wyoming to find her body nearby where that was taking place.
Okay.
So they are so like you said, clues are being left everywhere.
Oh yeah.
Because they're posting everything and
dude, like right now, okay? I could probably go outside, pull my pants down, pull them completely off, butt ass naked, okay? Walk down this block and there might be a few people watch,
mm-hmm.
okay? This mug is on national news, and the way the whole situation has came about, that's the reason why it's national news,
mm-hmm.
I had a veteran on my Facebook page that he wrote, you know, there's veterans missing and there's all these people missing, but yet I'm sorry for the outcome, but this Gabby story has taken on national news. It's crazy what some things will take over.
That's how the news works.
Okay. And I wanted to tell him, because I get it. You kind of upset. The one thing that I think we can agree as veterans, all right, is if there's like a, especially if there's a veteran that gets like national news, like really popular, and he's a jerk to you, you're going to hate him even higher than a civilian hates a civilian.
Yeah,
that's just how it is.
He's making you guys look bad.
Right, right. So, I forgot where I was going with that.
Well, yeah, like you were saying, this is taking over the nation because once it gets bit into the apple, I mean, everybody starts going to feed there, and then all the news they realize that everybody's tuning into this story. All their pages are getting tons of clicks every time they post something about it. I mean, if you Google Gabby Petito right now, every single news station in the country, 9 News in Denver, New York, Florida, California, every single news station is writing stories about this. So like you said, it's blowing up.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody knows about it.
Everybody's going to be looking for this guy, man.
Yep.
I mean, everybody. You hear it now, everybody's,
I need to find out what he looks like.
Everybody in Florida is on the lookout for him right
now.
Well,
you can do a sheer screen and find a picture of him. It's Brian Laundry. I don't want to touch the screen anymore tonight because messed up everything. We had dead air earlier on the video feed and. It's like, I don't want to touch it because I'm screwing it up every single time. I didn't even see how we was doing on.
What was his name? John Landry?
Brian Laundry.
Laundry.
Spelled with an IE at the end. So, yeah, that's who everybody in Florida is looking for right now. The FBI is at their house, at the Laundry house, where him and his parents are living. They're finally getting served warrants. They're finally being forced kind of into helping the situation.
Yep.
Yeah, that's
that guy?
Him. Right. Yep, that's him.
That's him right there.
I don't like him.
Nobody does.
You know what?
Nobody's a fan of this guy right
I probably am a terrible human for saying this. And, for everybody that I'm friends with that, really believe in God and that, I'll go to church and
StreamYard community.
I'll disregard my sins as needed, but I tell you what, I hope this piece of crap kills himself so that my tax dollars isn't wasted.
Just looking for him for the next trial.
A wasted breath. Human being.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what this person is.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what this person is.
Yep.
But, I mean, that's just my thinking, And I get it. I believe in second chances, and I'm trying to keep my thought. I don't know what's going on, but my brain's spinning right now a little bit. So
that's why this story is blowing up, though. I mean, it's making you do it. You're wondering what's going on. I mean, everybody wants to know what the hell happened and why this guy got let, why he wasn't named a suspect in the first place, and the police contacted him and his family, and then he was able to get away.
Yeah.
What I don't get is as soon as her parents called the police.
Yep.
Because I'm sure she came over. Hey, where's Gabby? Hey, she's not here. I don't want to talk. Like, as soon as he did that,
yep.
I would have called the police. And then, as a police officer, I would have told them, don't leave town.
Yeah,
you know, kind of thing.
Exactly.
Because evidently, that's not what happened.
No.
No, the police contacted him and his family.
I don't think
they were just not helping.
The police officer says, "Don't leave town." I don't think that you'd have to obey that.
that's the problem.
Maybe I should leave now.
Yeah, that's the problem with what everybody's saying is, how could you let him actually leave?
Right.
Because, you know, people are detained all the time without being convicted. So in a situation like this, you would think you would at least keep tabs on him and his family and what's going on. They knew he was the person of interest.
Yep.
He was the one traveling around the country with her. He came back in the van that they were traveling with. She didn't come back. So you would think right there, I mean, that's enough to kind of give you enough jurisdiction to say, hey, this guy needs to stay in our sights. We need to get a handle on him and see what's going on.
Exactly. No.
And then apparently his parents were not helping at all, and the Petito family was just begging them. Like, they all apparently they've been dating for years, and they liked each other a lot. They were fiancés, and
that's what I mean, man. They are like so. I mean, you either have it or you don't. You know, and like they had people following them and everything on like a YouTube channel.
Yeah, how do you go from that to this?
That's just it, man. That's just it.
Look, happy couple traveling across the country doing a YouTube channel.
You can get away a couple.
She's dead, and he's like
one hell of a drug.
Mm-hmm.
You can get away with a couple of days just masturbating, but sooner or later you gotta hit it. Yes, I just said that.
Do we have an awkward silence button on here?
Anyways, I figured I've
just thinking of this one as you said it.
Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah, I messed up there. Okay.
Two mics.
All right. Hey, we're going to go on a music break.
In 2 months.
What?
In 2 minutes.
Oh, okay.
We got to stretch this out even more. I mean,
my head's everywhere today. So if I offended anybody with my comments, I apologize. And
1 minute and 34 seconds.
Dead air.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Let me play on my phone first.
Take us on break. Sorry, I got a text from one of the instructors. So we're going to go on a music break. And when we come back, it will be the interview with Matt Anderson. That's the golf pro. I hope the show will get better.
Hey, it's going good.
I told him I'm probably going to be out of the game. You're looking good.
You're listening to the Military Broadcast Radio. Go get the MBR app so you don't miss the H-Train or any of our other shows. Our live streams and podcasts can also be found at mbradio.us. MBR and the H-Train Show, giving veterans a voice.
My name is Renee Marcoux. I'm the creator and co-founder of A Warrior's Oasis, and you're listening to the H-Train Show.
Get your phones ready. The H-Train Show wants to hear from you at 720-619-0627. Best caller text of the night wins a prize from the H-Train Show at 720-619-0627. MBR and the H-Train Show, giving veterans a voice.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're back and you're listening to the show that highlights all the nonprofit programs out there beyond VA. You're listening to the H-Train Show. And hopefully you find some comedy within today's show. Yeah, we'll try that. Hit that button. We have he's a veteran. He is a golf pro veteran, and he represents Tee It Up for the Troops. So he's going to be talking about them and his journey. Ladies and gentlemen, we invite Matt Anderson to the table. We're going to push a couple of buttons real quick.
How's it going, Matt?
Today's interview of the week is brought to you by Colorado
Motor
Service.
Things are going well.
We make motorcycles happy.
Just saw the guys from TF the Troops about 2 weeks ago up at D.C. So, you know, we had a bunch of veterans out around D.C. before 9/11. Had a great time. It was with a bunch of current and former congressional, both House and Senate representatives. So we had a great time.
Very nice.
Nice, nice. All right, so... Correct me if I'm wrong, Army, correct?
Yeah, mildly retarded, but yeah. not Marine Corps, but you know, not that substantial, but it's quite kicked in the head.
I was Army too, man. I get you, I get you, you know. I think sometimes Air Force wishes that they were in the Marines during wartime and that they're thankful that they're in the Air Force now that they're retired, kind of thing. So I totally get it. But what, did I like go way off somewhere?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. So Matt, tell us a little bit of like, why did you get into golf? You know, what inspired you? How does it help you?
That's pretty easy. I started when I was pretty young. It's probably like 4 or 5. My dad was a pretty good golfer, and he brought me out to the middle of an open field, and he would hit golf balls towards the basket. He did very well around the Richmond, Virginia area. Ended up dying pretty early. I was like seven years old. It was a freak kind of accident, and so he didn't get to teach me all the stuff that he knew. But my brother was about 1 and a half. I was 7. We were both pretty good athletes. Always have been. We played a lot of different sports, soccer, swimming, tennis. You know, we got all the gay sports covered pretty much all the way through like sailing and diving. Don't worry. I've got most of it right here. My brother is, you know, hung around with the more manly stuff. Golf was always a part of how we started growing up. Now, I started playing until I was about 11, and then I swam year-round, and that's kind of where I, you know, detracted off to a different side of life. But I swam at a pretty elite level all the way through college, and wasn't allowed to tell anybody that, especially in the military, that I swam and played tennis because that's – you just don't do that. It's not good. It's all good. Like, I don't really care. But after my injury, so I stepped on a landmine in Afghanistan in 2010. So to back it all the way up, if you want to get my backstory. So from 2005 to 2009, I was a long-range reconnaissance kid, high-value target, sniper stuff. Like, that's all we did. We were Iraq 06, 07. From 9 through 10, I was basically in officer school. And then in Afghanistan, I was a platoon leader for a mechanized infantry company and platoon, and we had in the first 20 days. So picture this. Let's back it up. We're trying to do like the full picture. I had a platoon of 31 dudes. In the first 20 days, I had 14 wounded. It's not a good time at all. Especially like no matter like if you're an enlisted officer, no, that only matter how it goes. Like it sucks. However, we had a very difficult area. We had a very difficult enemy that was in front of us, and we had a really good mindset about it. You know, in the long run, we're going to fight our fight. We're going to do what we got to do. And then, you know, we'll see what happens. And so I was a little different than our platoon sergeant, who believed that going straight line distance from one point to another would probably, you know, get you from there to there. It only ended up being, you're going to have a very bad time between those first 2 points. When you went with me, because my lurch days, we went the long way around, the way up on the side of the hill, through the canals, all the fun stuff, through the nastiest like terrain possible. And my guys always said, "Hey, sir, you know, whenever we go with you, it always sucks." I was like, "Yeah, you're right." It does. But have you noticed that every time we come back, no one's been injured? And I'm like, "Oh yeah, that is true." So. The old analogy of a gallon of sweat is worth an ounce of blood is very true. It's always been my perspective. You know, I got to work with a lot of great EOD guys that, you know, saved our ass on many different occasions. But in the long run, I stepped on a landmine in a Taliban controlled compound about 4 o'clock in the morning, rearranged my right hoof. But I was the first to not be an amputee on site. So everyone before me had been either midfoot, midshin, bilateral, triple, lots of fun stuff between all that. But so when you know that like the bomb went off and it's you, I expected to see not a lot of good things. And so when the dust settled and my helmet lights on and I looked down at my foot, the boot's still there. I'm like, all right, boot, all right, nice, all right, good, like, good, sweet. Like that's very different. That's what happened in the last multiple times. So I'm also medically inclined. My dad's a doc, my mom's a nurse. I wanted to see how bad the foot was damaged. And so I took my boot off. But like the ankle kind of like rolled out away from like where it should be. Wasn't good. I knew right then I wasn't probably getting the boot back on. So all that was done on site. And what I got really lucky to find out was later when I was still back at BAMC, the Brook Army Medical Center in San Antonio, was that there was 45 pounds of bulk ammonium nitrate so it was daisy chained to another ID next to it, basically, a bulk charge. And had that gone off, I would be a missed, right? Because so we had a triple amputee on 20 pounds of ammonium nitrate. Basically 45 pounds of that was 2 1/4 times that would turn me into nothing. So do all the rehab, things are good. And being in the hospital is mind-numbing. You do the same thing 40 times a day. You have the same food or you have very similar food. You have the same procedures that are coming to you. You have the same nurses that are checking on you and different things. The greatest thing that can ever happen to you is someone that gives you an opportunity to get all the way away from all of that. If it's a hunt, if it's golfing, if it's anything that gets you off the base. And so I started being asked to come out to play or at least like mess around the range at Brook Army Medical Center's golf center. I wish I could remember the name of it, but yeah, it's right around down the street. It's a decent little golf course. But because I grew up golfing, I could teach other guys how to golf. And that was the best part of it. So there are plenty of guys. So like, I know that you guys know plenty of veterans. Most of you did not grow up playing golf. I'm, like I said, mildly retarded, but I also grew up playing golf. And if I have the ability to show another guy how to hit a golf ball, it's really kind of cool because golf is it's an individual sport. It's not a team sport. It can be like the Ryder Cup that's coming up right now. It can be a team sport, but it's always on the single person. Now, the majority of our service members are athletes.
Yeah, it's like wrestling.
There's a pretty good range, right? So, like, you got the low-end dude, you got the guys that are high-end dudes, but they're all athletes. And if I can bring them out to a golf course or a range, and I can hit a couple balls in front of them and say, I guarantee you can do that, no matter how bad your injury is. You're missing a leg, two legs, arm. I've helped guys that are missing both legs and an arm hit a golf ball. I mean, I play golf routinely with a guy just, like, 45 minutes north of me that's lost both legs above the knees and three fingers. And the fact that he's standing and playing golf better than a lot of people, is awesome. It's so cool to watch. Like, there's amazing stuff that happens on a golf course. But again, it's always about that individual person. And what I realized, not even that long ago, and for a Tee Up for the Troops event, was I didn't speak really well while I was at it because I hadn't figured out the right words to say. And the right words to say is that everyone, no matter who you are trying to improve, right?
Right.
If it's at golf, if it's Paralympic skiing, right? Downhill slalom, like, you know, every sport we have, every things that you do, like you're through your life, you're always trying to improve. After an injury, you're always trying to get back to as close as you can to that where you were before the injury. So improvement is the key word.
Right.
So what I love about golf is that when guys finally, like they hit plenty of crappy shots. We all hit crappy shots. You hit one good one and the light bulb goes on and they're like, oh, that was awesome. And like, I want to do that again. And they continue to try and find that spot. But that also asks you to do balance, rotation, you know, hand-eye coordination, with a prosthetic, without a prosthetic, whatever it is, you have all these multitude of different things that are inhibiting you from hitting a fucking golf ball. It's a round ball, it's a flat surface, that way. You know, it's, you would think it would be easier. But if we could all do it, we would all be pros, but we can't. And that's what's awesome. And I love the fact that golf allows you to struggle with yourself. It also allows you, like, you two guys, you can play with me tomorrow. Like, we all go out and hang out a couple days. You know, a couple days, good God. A couple hours. You know, 3-4 hours at max, hopefully. But we could all have a good time, you know, drink a beer or two or no beers. But we have a good time hanging out. You're with some other people that you don't know. You're outside in fresh air, blue sky, and green grass. There is nothing better than those three things at all. No matter if you have a good day or a bad day.
Right.
You're outside in nature with some friends.
I don't think
that's it.
I don't think I've never tried it before, but I don't think it's possible.
You should
to go on the golf course and not have a Jack Daniels.
Oh, drink. I drink beer every time I golf. That's just a straight up fact, right
well,
there.
I mean, you know,
that's what that big pouch on your,
exactly.
on your golf bag is.
Yes, that's what I mean. I don't know one golfer ever in my presence that hasn't used the gut truck. Literally. So
if I'm
I mean,
trying to play for a good perfect. Score, I will actually not drink and yeah, not do bad things. But like yeah. You know, that's also few and far between, so you know what you're gonna do.
Yeah, I mean every time I'm out on the course, that's the first thing we're doing. We're packing a cooler, we're packing an ice pack or two,
yeah.
And we're bringing enough beer for everybody out there. That is
nice.
It's a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, hold up. So correct me if I'm wrong, all right?
Sure.
But when I went, and I'm pretty fresh at golf, okay? But when I went to play at my first golf place, it was a Wounded Warrior trip. We went to Canada. And when we got there, we had this time that we could go and play golf. So I went and I grabbed a bunch of the, you know, the
range balls,
and I used those to play the game of golf. Okay.
Okay.
And they looked at me.
I like him. I like this guy.
They golf looked, ball's expensive, man.
Exactly.
And they looked at me like I had kicked them in the balls because I just did this. And then now you're telling me that you have an ice chest in your golf cart.
Absolutely.
And you'll sit there drinking like beers and Jack. My question is, which one's worse?
Neither one are worse. No. So what we realized the last time we went playing golf was that we didn't have any music playing.
Oh, no.
And that was the detriment of everything. They're like, we've got speakers, we've got stuff going on, but like, it's not enough to detract from the other guys that are playing, but it's just for our little community. They're like, we'll play whatever music you like. You've got country, rock, you know, whatever the hell you like.
That's
but
awesome.
Like, you know,
all let's right,
get a
guys.
Good like, jam session going on. We can have a good time.
We're going to do an NBR event
yes.
at Common Ground.
I like this.
And we're going to get a buggy. We're going to have a cooler in it. And then I'll bring the little speakers, and we all can go play with golf ball. You know, we're going to get
balls.
A bucket of range balls.
We'll all play with range balls
around the course.
I like it. Saves you a lot of money using range balls.
And
I'll tell you that right now.
We're going to see how long it takes us to get kicked off the golf course.
I played Common Ground I was stationed at Colorado Springs for a while, and so I started a chapter for Salute Military Golf Association there. But Common Ground is a great golf course. So, like, you'd have a – I mean, you should get out there and go tear it up. I mean, it's a really good municipal course in Denver. It's a hidden gem, in my opinion. Yeah, it's a great course.
Yeah, there it was our sponsor. I don't know if they're still going to renew, but
– I'd say they're good
graces. We're trying to figure this out
yeah,
right now. We're trying to figure this out.
They're totally awesome. So, funny story. And I think I can be public about it. I don't know if you knew this, but when I reached out to you, we was going to, like, you know, promote the Tee It Up for the Troops tournament that was going to happen at Common Ground October 14th. Mm-hmm. When I confirmed the date, I found out this week that let's just say that there's no remote. There's no golf outing. So since that happened, I'm like, oh boy, I don't really know what to talk to Matt about. And, you know, he was telling me, oh, I got this. We can do this. I can talk about this. And I'm like, okay. But, yeah, it's funny how things happen. But the good thing being on the show is, you know, you're talking, you know, you're telling your journey to our veterans that are listening right now. And, you know, we've got veterans listening worldwide. And one of the biggest things that I remember when I got gifted my first set of golf clubs, and when I was at Teeing Up the Troops, you know, JB and me, you know, we were together, and I told JB, I've never played golf before. And he's like, really? And I'm like, yeah, because I have no idea why you would hit the ball and then you would run after it. You know, at least in basketball and baseball and football, they got somebody that will catch the ball when you throw it, you know, kind of thing. And he started laughing a little, and he's like, well, how about you give it a try? So I gave it a try with Tee It Up for the Troops, and I loved it. I loved it. It helped me tremendously on the PTSD because I learned the hard way that you can't hit the ball if you're trying to overpower it. Like, you got to relax.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
What? Tee it up for the troops. Yeah.
Well, I can tell you, if you want to run an event, I know multiple golf courses in the Colorado Springs and Castle Rock area that'll probably help you out. Yeah. So I lived there for like 5 years. So like,
okay.
I've got some resources. We can link up later about that, but I got you. Don't worry about it.
Awesome. What did you try and tell me, Willie?
Ask him about Tee It Up for the Troops.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I thought I did. I apologize. So we heard about your journey. Now with Tee It Up for the Troops, did you learn with them or how did that partnership evolve?
I wish I had a good answer for that because I don't. And I love Tim Weichscheid, who's the CEO for Tee Up the Troops. Like, I text him all the time. I know him really well. I have no idea how our paths crossed. I don't. I don't know when or where or where the fuck we were. Like, we did something somewhere. But what I realized, and so, like, that's the hard thing. Like, I don't know how to, like, intersect these stories. Because between Tee It Up for the Troops and the Salute Military Golf Association that I'm on the board for, we both serve the same population base, right? And so, like, we're trying to get service members that have served after 9/11 to play golf. SMGA helps with guys that are physically disabled after you know, because of their injuries, both mental and physical, to get on the golf course through, like, actual, like, clinics. Tee It Up for the Troops does all of the, like, and they do, like, a bigger picture with all of the different tournaments that are all over the country. So they run, I wish I didn't know their numbers, but like they run like 55 to 65 tournaments across the country during a calendar year, all across the country, minus like North Dakota and like maybe Alaska because no one wants to play golf there. But like they're all across the country. They're great events. And so I just helped run one back in Connecticut. Not that I live there, but my uncle does. And it was right after the Kabul attacks, and I don't normally get choked up over anything. Like, I can usually talk through whatever, and for some odd reason, it was an odd reason, but, like, they had a table of the 13, for the 13 that were killed in the IED attack or the suicide vest, whatever you want to call it. And I had to take a second. And the whole point that I was there was to talk about why SMG, or sorry, their Tee It Up the Troops, and why it is and what it does, you know, that helps people. And it took me a minute. And after I composed myself and kind of gathered myself, as one should do, I talked about how great Tee It Up for the Troops is, because what they do is after they run all these tournaments all across the country, they take all of the money that comes in from those tournaments. And then what you guys do and what I do is we say, these are the organizations that helped us the most. Not the ones that suck. Not the ones that didn't do jack and shit. They want to put their damn. There's 4,000, 5,000 fucking like organizations that are out there.
Hey, Matt, we got to watch it. We're on FCC.
Sorry. I'm going to give you three. I'm going to give you three really good organizations that helped me during my rehabilitation. They say, okay, well, let's take those three organizations, like those three organizations from Matt Anderson. Let's take three from you, from your buddy, from everyone. And we're going to find the same ones and we're going to use those. And we're going to give all that money back. 90% of it goes back to the right organizations that they can, that have the most impact on the, like, the wounded service member, or also the transitioning service member. And that's the benefit of Teed Up for the Troops, because they're doing everything they can with a very minimal staff. I think they have four people on staff, so they have minimal overhead. So they bring all this money in, they have enough to pay their bills for their, you know, their office and their lighting and their staff. And then everything else goes right back out. It doesn't stay, it doesn't sit as over, like they don't hold on to it. It goes straight back out to all the other organizations that we say have the best and most impactful impact on us as we got through our rehab. And that's what's awesome, is because, you know, they're not trying to hold on to it. They're not saying like, well, out of a dollar donated, we you know, 25% of it goes back to the service member, we hold on to 75% of it. No, it's 90% of it goes back to the organizations that we believe makes an impact, and 10% stays with them because that's all they need to keep the lights on and keep their, you know, actually pay that their salaries.
And Matt, I hate to do this to you. We have came to that end of our time. We're going to hit a button real quick. And if we didn't ask you something, or, you know, there's something that you want to say real quick.
Do you want to give us the name?
This is your time to shine.
You want to give us the names of those three organizations that you mentioned that you thought stood out among the rest of them?
Well, so I'll start with Teed Up for the Troops, the Salute Military Golf Association, because we teach wounded service members how to play golf after their injury. And the third would probably be David Faraday's, oh, good Lord, brain is dying. I can see it on the top of my head. Nope. Yeah, that's why too many glass series, man. It's not gonna work out. But I can almost see like the three chevrons that are in there. But Troops First Foundation. There you go. See, it took a minute. Okay. But like, how do you restart the brain? Troops First Foundation is also another good one. All of them do great work. And there's one out of San Antonio. I believe what you guys are doing. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it very much. If you haven't played golf, get your ass out there and go play golf.
Definitely.
It is a hard game, but have a good time and go enjoy it.
Definitely.
With some beer to friends.
Thank you, Matt. I appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, veteran pro golfer Matt Anderson. Thank you for being on the show.
Thanks, man. I'll talk to you later. Get back.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, bring to the stage your favorite person, Allie.
Please welcome to the stage, dear Allie.
I'm only going to say this one time, so listen up. I'm here to educate. I'm here to educate you guys because I didn't have any help when I got out of the service.
Sir, do you understand the function of quotation mark? Do you understand that I was not the one that said that I was really...
A VSO is a veteran service officers, and what we do is we help you file claims, we help you with your education benefits, we help you with your dependent stuff, everything related to service and what you need to be successful during your transition. That's what a VSO does.
Dear Allie is sponsored by Gertie Enterprises.
Allie, it's been months. No, I'm teasing.
Feels like it, though.
I feel like I haven't seen you guys in forever.
I know, right?
Where you been?
So that one night when we had to cancel, the power went out completely everywhere. And then after that power, I think he was traveling.
It's Labor Day.
Labor Day weekend as well.
I was coming back from the Dominican Republic.
Yeah, so it was Labor Day. Traveling. And then it was... Okay.
So anyway, it's been a month.
So, wow. Isn't that crazy? 3 months and it's 2022?
That's wild. Yeah.
Why do you talk like that?
Yeah, that's... Nobody wants to hear that, man.
Like that.
Nobody wants to hear that.
I'm serious.
Hey, if somebody wanted to watch right now, how can they watch you?
mbradio.us, and then you click on the live button on the right side of the menu.
On the phone app.
mbradio.us.
Yeah. on the phone app. Yeah.
Look at Monica coming through in the clutch.
I've been trying to get my parents to watch the show, and they haven't figured out those simple instructions yet. So, I mean.
I was just going to say, if you search NBR on Facebook, I bet you can find us that way, too.
There's a bunch of ways. On Twitch, you can find the H-Train show. I mean, let's plug all of them right now.
Let's do it. You just got to do the handles.
Plug all of them.
The handles. You know, it's crazy, this whole situation with the Gabby thing in Florida.
I don't really know what's going on. I've been like, I know that she went missing, but they found remains this morning.
Yeah, right.
Boyfriend's missing, her fiance.
Yeah, so
I'm really hoping
her fiance is hiding. Her fiance is hiding.
So he's not missing. He's hiding.
He's hiding. He's got to be hiding. They say he's missing, but nah, he's hiding.
That
well, I
is
hope
no longer
he's
with
missing
us,
because I hope her father got a hold of him.
Right?
That would be a shame.
And, you know, I was thinking because, you know, sometimes not everybody's so obvious about things. But, like, I was looking on, like, their Facebook, their Instagram to see if they, you know, had like a personal page or anything, you know, because I was going to go read the comments, you know. I love reading comments, like trolls, you know.
I just
sit there and just laugh. I mean, there's some people being smart aleck, so, you know.
Yeah, that's a shame.
No, I did. I did something a little childish. I got on Facebook and they brought this up, and I was trying to bring a little humor into it. I don't know if it was too soon, but I wrote,
probably.
You know, hey,
if you're asking, then yes.
They need to bring Criminal Minds back. Rosie could find him real quick, you know.
Yeah, that's a good show. Did they take
it to the air? It did. They did.
Oh. Well, I haven't watched TV in years, so I have no idea what's.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I don't watch TV.
So, Allie,
sir,
you've been traveling.
Yes,
what?
I'm getting ready to travel again.
What's the common thread for this week? Or your week really hasn't started yet, has it?
No, my week. Listen, I don't even know what day it is. The only reason I know it's Monday is because I'm here. I work. And I was like, and I'm like dying to get into pajamas, and I look at the clock, and I'm like, oh, I gotta do my show. So here I am, cutting into my sleep time for you, battle, for you. today or this week's theme, again, I don't understand why people are not reading your decision letters. You have to read it. You have to read it. Like, well, I got denied. It's not service connected. What do I do? Well, guy, not service connected is not the reason for denial. You have to read that letter. So skip over page 1 and 2. Page 3, that's when it really gets good.
Right.
And it tells you what the rater looked at, the evidence that was submitted. It talks about your appointments, what the examiner found, any favorable findings. And then you're going to see either granted or not granted, not service connected. The letter also tells you what you need to do in case you disagree. So whether that's a higher level review, or that's a supplemental claim, or if you've filed like 5 supplemental claims and you're still getting denied, then I say let's go to the VBA, the Veteran Board of Appeals, because obviously you're missing something. But if there's no diagnosis when you file, get a diagnosis, make an appointment, go talk to your PCP, get the diagnosis. If there's no in-service treatment record, so that gets a lot of guys because you're also macho and you don't go to sick call. And when they pull your service treatment record, there's no treatment, right? So I tell guys all the time. Actually, right before you, I got on, I was answering DMs on TikTok and everybody was like, well, I never went to sick call, or I retire in a year. What do I do? You guys go to sick call. If you don't want to go to sick call, then make an appointment with your PCP. Go to the hospital. Go talk to somebody. You have to get this documented. It's only going to help you. It's only going to benefit you. Please go talk to somebody.
Right.
Okay? You're not helping yourself. I promise there's life after the military. You are not helping yourself by not going to sick call. You're not helping yourself by waiting 5, 10, 15 years after filing, right? So just do yourself a favor. Listen to me. I kind of know what I'm talking about.
So... this is a great question. And it was asked to me by a veteran.
Okay.
And the only question I'm going to ask you, because I'm pretty sure I already know the answer, but I just want to reconfirm. Okay. What percentage with the VA do you have to be able to receive payment for travel?
So if you go to travel for a service-connected disability, then right. You can file your thing. You can file your travel pay.
Okay, so there's no percentage.
I don't think so. I've never seen a percentage. I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, somebody tell me I'm wrong.
But yeah, right.
If you're going in to see in for a service-connected disability for right. that disability, then you can claim travel.
Okay, so I guess true story. This is what happened. So this veteran contacted me. He's like, "Hey, look, I've got the service-connected thing. They're only paying me $20 instead of the $60, and I can't really afford the gas and travel and stuff like that. Should I say something?" And I told him, "Well, let's think about this. I used to do this whole travel thing with the VA, and I evidently they had me in Aurora and not Denver. So yep. I was like 13 or 12 miles off of, like, I guess there's a pay scale. So from here, it was like $10. And one day, I griped because it went from $10 to $2.
Ooh.
And I'm like, why did this change? Blah, blah, blah. And they're like, "Oh, well, let's look at your percentage." No, they said, "Let's look at your percentage. Do you even qualify for travel pay?" And like, ever since then, I stopped going to like travel because they were making a big deal with the $2 and all.
I'm going to research this because, yeah. So one, how does your friend know it's $60 and not $30? Two, did he move?
Yeah.
So let me research this because,
well,
that
see, this
sound
is
right
my thinking. This is what I said to him. I'm like, "Well, I think you have to be a certain percentage, and I don't think you're that percentage." I'm like,
"Is he like 0% or 10%? Usually it's 30 or 30% for everything, but from my understanding in all my years doing this,
yeah.
If you are going for a service connected disability
yeah.
for an appointment, then you are compensated your travel."
See,
so
that's what I was thinking, but he said that it was because this office was further, the other office was closer, and that's the reason why they would be like taking the pay. And I'm like, you know, I don't really know, but
I'll look into it.
Yeah. It's a good question.
It is a good question, and I'm stumped, so kudos to that guy.
Yeah. So, all right.
Yeah. Read your decision letter, folks.
I was going to say, we still got a lot of time, don't we?
Also, let me tell you.
Pipes.
Don't be a no-call, no-show to your appointments, please. Please don't do that.
And being in the military, all of us should know that. You don't miss an appointment, period.
Right. So I say that because I got a buddy watching, and I kind of gave him a little bit of crap about it. It's a pain if you have – so everything is fixable, right? There's no – like, everything is fixable.
Yeah.
But don't. Just please make every effort. I mean, unless you're, like, deathly ill or something happened, God forbid. But if you can go to these appointments, please go to the appointments. Because if even if you reschedule, right, even if you call like a month in advance, "Hey, listen, I'm going to be out of the country. It happened to me. Uh-huh. I literally was not in the country." And I called them and told them this. They still use that as evidence. They use everything. They look at everything. So if you get called by like QTC or LHI and you're like, "I can only do weekends," that doesn't look good either. Your compensation is supposed to be a priority, right? Like
right.
You want to show these people that, "Listen, I am in pain. I did suffer this. I need compensation," but you're only only around on the weekends doesn't look too good.
Right.
So,
I mean, technically, if you're getting some kind of payment from the VA, some percentage, the way I look at it is that's your job to jump on their hoop when they tell you to jump. I just made a really another bad analogy.
Jump through the hoop, not on the hoop.
Through the hoop.
I'm having a day. Everything that I say today, it's like loopy, and I don't know why. I'm just having a bad day.
Yeah.
It's a full moon coming.
It is a full moon, actually. I think today's a harvest moon.
Yeah.
I think I read about that, too.
Blend the harvest moon.
Right. What's your sign?
Mercury's in retrograde or whatever that nonsense is.
Mine's Cancer.
It's supposed to mess with the Pisces and Cancers more this full moon.
Oh, see?
It's supposed to be more psychic.
That's not your fault.
I already know that when I die, I'm going to die of cancer. I have no idea why. Okay, but, you know, when you have a sign like Cancer, it's kind of stamped on your butt already.
Well, I mean, I'm a Leo, so I'm going to get eaten by some lions.
Awesome, Lee. Stay away from the jungle.
You like a Leo and a Luigi. Mario.
Joel, I did want to ask you, though, how's your speech coming along?
I think it's coming along okay.
Don't disappoint me.
You mean that speech?
Yes,
I thought she was talking about me like A-E-I-O-U. Like I was going to rehabilitation or something.
No, I meant speech for me, for my event.
Yeah. I'll send it to you tomorrow. Promise. Wow, I am loopy today.
You still have like 2 months.
Okay.
But you'll get it tomorrow. So don't worry.
I wrote your invoice, but I'm not going to write your speech for you.
Like, I'm starting to think the show's bad because when I say stuff, it's like radio silence. They're just like looking at me like, I don't know how to follow that. Or, what the heck is he talking about?
H, there's just some things we can't say.
We can't kick him out. It's a show.
It's his station, even.
I'm sure I could be fired.
It's happened.
Fired from your own show.
What other questions? The internet's quiet tonight. Usually,
I know. I think it's because Monday Night Football.
Oh. Yeah. How about them Patriots?
Hey! Yeah! Yeah.
You know what? I'm not going to say anything because I don't know if you saw the text, but I sent you a text that the Patriots are playing that same weekend.
On the 14th.
Yes. Yeah. And I just wanted to know if you wanted to go to a game.
Yes, hell yeah, I'll go to the game.
Okay, so I don't know.
You can go to Gillette Stadium before me.
I sent my...
Why don't you both
see,
come? I'm
the
literally
only...
3 miles from the stadium. I'll introduce you to everybody.
I'm good friends...
if I know them.
I'm good friends with a former Patriot. I sent him a text. I haven't got anything back from him, but it's a try.
Is he still in Massachusetts, or is he...
No, I think he's in San Diego still.
Oh, yeah.
San Diego.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we just hired that new kid. I don't even know his name.
Mac Jones.
Sure.
This is the first year that I played fantasy football.
Yeah.
And my whole team, I absolutely have no idea who any of them are. I thought they were rookies, and Jake's like, no, you're like 3 or 4 years. And I'm like, wow, it's been a while.
Yeah, I'll get into it like eventually, probably like November, December. But right now I got so much going on. I am in need of a new assistant. So if anybody's in Massachusetts and you would like to work for me, apply online. We pay well too. So.
Nice. We're going to play one button because we didn't get to play the one button with the interview. So we're just going to give you like a 2-minute time to shine thing.
Hey, why do you do this to me? Okay. All right, go. Go.
Today's time to shine is brought to you by Law Offices of Diane Sawaya. Smart. Aggressive.
compassionate. It's more than a slogan. It's our mission.
This is your time to shine, baby. It's your time to shine.
We literally had to hit that for the sponsor. But anything that you'd like to add until next Monday?
Yeah, so if you have not yet filed a claim, please file at va.gov. Website's going to pop up. You're going to see a couple boxes, healthcare, disability. In the disability box, scroll all the way down to the last link. File a claim for new compensation. Bloop, hit that. It's going to ask you, are you active duty now? Yes or no? It's going to ask you to sign in. You can sign in during id.me. Fill all that in. Start a disability claim. You click that. It's going to ask you all your service dates. Well, it's already going to populate. And then just go through the prompts. It's not hard. Back in the day, it had to be like paper and pen and it was overwhelming and it was so many forms. The VA has eliminated that. So your VA from 1990 is not the same VA from today. So file online, va.gov. If you have questions, you can find me on TikTok. Ali says no. I'm also on Instagram. I'm also on OnlyFans. Just kidding.
Wait, what? The VSO on OnlyFans.
And then also, if you have filed a claim and you have been denied, please read that decision letter. It literally tells you the next steps. Do not appeal first round denials. File either a 0996 higher level review or a 0995 supplemental claim with new evidence. If you don't want to file yourself, Google your state and veterans office. So Indiana Veterans Services, Colorado Veterans Services, and find yourself a veteran service officer. You wouldn't go to court representing yourself. So let a professional represent you. Find a VSO. The end.
Thank you, Allie. I'll see you Monday.
Always a pleasure. Bye, guys.
Bye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for Tribute to the Troops.
This is an MBR moment of heroism.
Sir, I don't know how to tell the story.
Well, you got to, Joe. You tell the American people what these men did here. You tell them how my troopers died.
Military Broadcast Radio proudly salutes Sergeant First Class Oscar Box. Oscar was born in San Juan, Texas on September the 25th, 1931. Sergeant First Class Box was a veteran of the Korean and Vietnam Wars with the 10th Cavalry Regiment, Buffalo Soldiers. He retired from the Army in 1976 after serving honorably for 27 years. He is survived by his wife, Dora, of 68 years. Two sons, Roy and Gary, and their wives, Michelle and Luann. Oscar has 7 grandkids, 13 great-grandchildren, and 4 great-great-grandchildren. Oscar was a man that loved and enjoyed life, traveling, camping, hunting, fishing, and being with his family into the late years of his life. Sergeant First Class Box passed away on December the 26th, 2020. He will be missed by his family and many dear friends. On behalf of Military Broadcast Radio and a grateful nation, thank you for your service, Sergeant Box. Ready and forward.
My name is Wendy, and I am the founder of Operation Revamp, and you're listening to the H-Train Show.
You know, I just thought about this. You shut the door, and I don't know if he knows the children.
I hope he doesn't.
We're fixing to find out. We are back to listen to the highlights. Out there beyond the VA, you're listening to the 8th Train Show. As Willie sits down and gets his music on, he's gonna complain about us shutting the door on him. I'm sorry. I told him to shut it. I didn't know.
That is kind of what I learned today.
What?
They will shut the door in your
Too bad we all didn't get to hear that.
Hey, guess what? We don't have to do a 2-minute warning because we have no idea where that's going. So we're, yeah.
So we're freestyling.
So we're kind of freestyling. But that is one thing that we learned today is to make sure you look both ways before shutting the door, and you can play golf with a cooler of beer and soda and stuff.
And speakers.
Speakers.
With range balls.
Yeah,
so
of course, man.
So you don't lose your own balls.
That's the way to go.
I'm pretty sure. I'm not for sure, but I'm pretty sure. If we have any listeners, please let me know. I'm pretty sure they'll kick you off a golf course if you do that.
I don't know if they'll kick you off.
They'll probably take the range balls from you.
They put them back on the range. Yeah. Make you go find one in a pond that you can use the rest of the round.
Do you think they would confiscate a like, cooler?
No.
It depends on the course.
Yeah.
They want you buying it from the cart girl. They don't want you bringing your own stuff out
there. The cart girl is where
right?
you should be buying your booze from, as far as they're concerned.
Yep.
You know, I tell you what, you're right. I love TikTok, okay? But there's like these different scenes, different plays that I would love us to do, like prank things. Okay?
He's just streaming up TikToks all day long.
Yeah.
And I get to see it.
Too.
I get to see it. We get onto Cherry Creek. You know, or it's not Cherry Creek.
One of the fancy courses.
The Cherry Hills?
Yeah, Cherry Hills. We get to Cherry Hills, and we drive that buggy with cooler of beer and stuff, with like the speakers and the range balls.
They see that facial hair on you and not even let you in the gate.
And see how long it takes for somebody to say something, okay?
Like Rodney Dangerfield's character in Caddyshack.
Or here's another scene
you
that
get away
I got.
With it, you got the money.
Yeah.
Here's another scene that I got. I got the scene that Willie is taping it, but I go out to Cherry Creek Lake, okay? Mm-hmm. And I keep going up to people. Hey, I got stung by a jellyfish. Pee on me. Pee on me. And see how many people actually
pee
do it.
Oh, my God.
Are you gonna let that happen?
I'm just saying. I'm just throwing out these scene ideas. I got a lot of scene ideas. We need to work on that.
We need to take you to Hollywood, Joel. You need to be a movie writer right here.
Yeah. Pipes.
Script writer.
What did you learn today?
That I could go online and do my VA claim.
Very good.
Okay. I really need to do one of them one of these days.
Yeah, you do, man.
You and me both.
But, you know, I'm still trying to go active, so it's good that I don't have a rating. I'll wait till they take me active, then I'll get a rating.
I don't know how that works, like signing in with the VA, like while you're still active. Like, there are some people that are really good at it. I don't know how that works because it probably took like a month or two for me to finally like go to the VA to get signed on. And the only reason why I got signed on with the VA is because with my blackouts, because of my traumatic brain injury, I wrecked my car on like the hill. I didn't hit nobody, but I still wrecked it. When I brought that to their attention, hey, I'm getting in trouble at Walgreens because I would accidentally drop some of the orange juice and bust it.
Oof.
And it happened like 4 or 5 times. It happened a lot. And I went to the VA and I told them, hey, this is what I got going on. Hold on a second. So then they do the MRI thing. Dude, I guess the golf ball or size, whatever, on my brain was so big that within 24 hours, they cut me a check and put me on VA unemployability.
Jeez.
Yeah. So, and the Army really misdiagnosed it. Because they said something completely different.
You didn't get diagnosed with that before you were out?
No. And
oh
then
my
I got
God.
PDBR. I did that, and that's how I got my retirement. Because when I left the Army, I exited on a medical discharge. But the medical discharge was something totally different.
Not related to the brain injury.
Than what happened to me. So the VA's like, hey, whoa, Army, cough up some money. Because basically, if you didn't realize this, when you get out, you basically go to the VA because they're your lawyer and you're suing the Army for crap that happened to you. That's basically what it is. So
that's why Allie was saying get in touch with people who are actually helpful within your state and get in touch with experts. Like she said, you don't go to court without a lawyer. Don't go there without one either. Unless your pipe's over here, dude. Exactly. Unless you're a
genius.
How
about them apples?
There you go.
So this was kind of your first opportunity at doing like co-host thing, right?
Yeah,
right now,
definitely.
Or are you? Yeah, you know, before we go, I wanted you to plug your show a little bit. You guys on the Switzer Show.
Okay.
So
definitely will do.
Now, you have a different DJ name on?
On the Switzer Show, I'm the intern, so I'm the most famous intern in the world, Monica.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we do the Switzer Show.
Black Magic was nice enough to give him that name.
There we go. We do it on Thursdays, me, Pipes, Swiss, and Con Man. We do it 1:30 to 3. It's a sports show. It's a little different than this one.
I still don't get why Jake is still doing his show and he doesn't let the Master Pro do that and let him worry about talking. I still don't know that. I still don't understand that. Like, you guys are both capable of doing it, right?
Yeah. It was funny watching Con Man do it last week. Man. Oh, it was a disaster. Like, am I supposed to hit something now?
Oh, no.
Wait a minute.
The mics are
We're
still on.
We're 2 minutes after the show was supposed to be on. Should I, like, start encoding?
Nope. Dead air.
And this guy took a Roby day on us, too, so it's just the two of us in there.
Oh. And Swiss is on vacation then, too, so.
Oh, but that's right. He did call, and that threw me off. I had no idea that was coming.
He called in during it?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So the first 45 minutes, he was wandering around an aircraft carrier in San Diego.
There we go. Little tour.
I thought it was great. I thought that, you know, him getting on there that way, that was fantastic, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just surprised he didn't be like, reporting from blah, 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 it's Swiss.
Here's your Raider highlights.
Yeah.
Right? Man. Well, I think that's...
What did Willie learn?
We talked about that earlier.
That they will close the damn door in your face.
Right in his
close
face.
The door.
Oh, right
what'd
in your
you
face.
Learn?
You know,
don't close the door in Willie's face.
I don't know.
I think when it comes to the whole golf thing, that we're just joking. I think it's frowned upon. And if you go around the park with cooler and range balls, you'll definitely not get invited back. That's what I'm.
The cooler is only because they want you to buy their beer.
Yeah.
But most people just stuff them in the golf bag.
Yep.
The music's the only place you get in trouble.
We play music out there. We go.
It's supposed to be quiet on the golf course.
Famous headphones. All right, Kevin.
That's the show for today, everyone. Well, let's get it up in there. Mod it up.